as you're finding your seat, if you will open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, this morning, verses 11 through 17. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciousness. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, other translations, if we are out of our minds, or if we are crazy, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we now know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, who inspired these words by the Apostle Paul to proclaim these great mysteries of being made new in Christ, of everything being made new in Christ, we invite you into this place today. We invite you to open our ears, to open our hearts, to receive your word, so that we might be made new as well. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What brings about change? It's January 7th. How are we doing on our New Year's resolutions? Those things that we've decided we want to change, lose weight, save money, spend more time with loved ones, stop smoking, read the Bible each day. When we come up with these things that we want to do differently each and every year, we usually have some kind of a rational plan attached to them for how we're going to get there. Cut out sweets. Put $50 of every paycheck into savings and don't touch it. Make Friday nights family nights. Don't let anything else get on the schedule ever. Buy a pack of Nicorette gum. Set your alarm 30 minutes earlier in the morning for prayer and Bible reading. On January 1st, all of these things sound simple enough, doable. We're set for the best year ever, for what is finally truly going to be a year of change. And then the alarm goes off on January 2nd. We're tired and we push snooze. We'll make up that prayer and reading plan sometime before bedtime. A couple Fridays into the year, the boss needs you to work late to catch up for missed time over the holidays. We'll make Saturday family day this time. There's just good food everywhere. Rather than cut sugar out, I'll just limit my sugar intake. All things in moderation, you say. Still paying off Christmas debt, so that $50 into savings will have to wait until I'm back in the black again. And before we know it, a few weeks into the new year, our lives look remarkably the same way they did last year. And the one before that, and the one before that, we see little to no change. This morning, I want us to ask if change, this side of heaven, is ever really possible. Like real, inside-out, transformation kind of change. Are old addictions ever really broken? Do bad habits ever really go away? Does a habitually unhealthy person really ever have a shot at truly becoming healthy? Does a person who's addicted to the rat race of life ever really give it all up for relationships? Does an admirer of Jesus Christ ever really go beyond admiration and become a true disciple, an actual follower of Jesus and of his ways? Paul thought so. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he declares strongly, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Anyone in Christ, a brand new creation, all that's old and compromised, gone, he says. Everything made new. This is transformation talk. This is change, lasting change, the kind of change that starts on the inside and then pours out, that kind of change. Where does this kind of change come from? I want some of that. Paul speaks into that from his own experience. His life before Jesus, if you know much about it, it was a very well put together life. Paul had worked hard. He had earned a good reputation. He had a handle on religion. He was trained in the very best school. He was well on his way to Jewish fame. And in an instant, everything changed. This once esteemed Jew now sits here and boasts about being completely out of his mind. About having nothing to boast about but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He now goes to places that could get him arrested, proclaims a message that could get him killed. He now lives a life where he is mocked by the very people that he used to inspire. What happened to Paul? What changed him? What made Paul a brand new creation? Was it guilt? Did God come to Paul and tell him every way he was disappointed in him, demanding he get on track with Jesus? No. Wasn't guilt. What changed Paul? Was it shame? Did God tell him how embarrassed God was by all of Paul's mistakes? No, it wasn't shame. Was it fear that changed Paul? Did God come down and tell Paul, you know, you better get your act together. You better stop trying to succeed in life on your own, or else I'm going to have to come down there and show you who's boss. No, it wasn't fear. You see, guilt and shame and fear, these might manipulate and control people for a while, but they don't do much at all when it comes to really changing people. Parents in the room. Supervisors in the room, take note. Guilt, fear, shame, long-term change, they don't work. According to Paul, he was made new. He was changed from the inside out by one thing and only one thing. And what was that one thing but the love of Jesus Christ? In verse 12, he says, if I am out of my mind, it's for God. In verse 14, he says, it is the love of Christ that urges me on to do all these crazy things. In verse 15, he says, we now live in Christ. In verse 16, we see everyone from a new point of view because we now know God as he has been revealed in the love of Christ. In verse 17, this love of Christ makes all things new. Change. That sticks through eternity. We are changed by love and only by love. My sister struggled as a teenager and as a young adult. She made some really terrible decisions, and she caused her loved ones a whole lot of grief. We all wondered if she was ever going to change. She got married young, and she had my niece. And something about that baby girl changed my sister almost overnight, it seemed. It was like for the first time in her life, she had someone in this world that she actually loved more than life itself. And she began to make her decisions based on this little human being's good. And it changed how she treated others and how she treated herself. It changed her relationship with God. Finally, she admitted that she kind of needed him. My sister, she had experienced guilt and shame and fear as a result of all the things she had done, but ultimately she wasn't changed by those things. She was changed by love. When someone's falling in love, you see this. All of a sudden, they change how they dress, how often they take a shower. They check their phone incessantly, never wanting to miss a thing from the other. Rather than sports or work or the latest Netflix craze, they talk about this person all the time, drives their other friends crazy, and they don't even notice they're doing it. They see things all around that remind them of their love. They take interest in their interest. They are changed by love. People have always been changed by love. This is our truth, too. We, like Paul, are a people who have been changed because we are a people who have been loved. Loved by this God who became one of us, who exposed himself to all of our own messes and heartache to save us. This God put on flesh and moved into our neighborhood. This God who has promised to be with us. This God who has said he loves us so much that he chooses to prepare a place for us to be with him and for eternity. This God who could have held all of our wrongdoings and our underfunctioning and our disappointments against us, but instead chose to move closer to us to show us just how much he loved us. So much that he said, my life for yours, my pain for your freedom, my sorrow for your joy, my suffering for your forgiveness, all of me for all of you. This is the love that we know. This God who just keeps on saying, I'm not mad at you. I just want to be with you. I'm not ashamed of you. I just want to share my life with you. I'm not waiting for you to get your act together to deserve me. I love you now. I gave my son for you as you are now. I want to love you and to be loved by you now. It is this love, that makes our hearts race and our minds spin. It's this love that when we actually begin to get it, we can't help but become absolutely overwhelmed by it. It's this love that makes us see everything differently. God, death, life, others. It is this love that compels us, that urges us on, that puts us out of our mind. It's this love that changes us forever and for good. We are changed by love, only by love. That's where change comes from, love. So what do people look like who have really received it? Like they've lost their minds. At least that's what Paul says. If I'm out of my mind, if I am crazy, it's for God. He says, his love urges me on. His love gets the first and the last word in everything that I do. When's the last time someone asked you if you were out of your mind because of how you were trying to love? Those changed by the love of Jesus will be asked this question more and more. A people being changed by Christ's love are out of their minds in how they relate to God. You know, this world thinks we're crazy when we talk about having a relationship with God. Think about that. This invisible force that created the heavens and the earth, who's always been and always will be, and we as Christians actually claim to hear from him, to have his presence dwelling in us. We say that we actually know God and that he knows us. We say that we love God and that he loves us. We tell the world that we walk with God, that we talk with him. And craziest of all, we tell them that we let this God have a say on how we actually live our lives. We actually let this invisible God decide how we spend our money and our time. and how we treat our enemies. Heck, even how we spend our Sunday mornings. What are you doing here, guys? This is crazy. Who does this? It's crazy talk to the world out there. It's what Paul was referring to when he says, even when no one gets me, it doesn't matter because it's the love of Christ that urges me on, that determines where I go, what I say, and what I do. It's the love of Christ that compels me in every way. When's the last time someone told you you were getting a little bit carried away with all this God stuff? That's a good sign you're being changed from the inside out by this reckless, overwhelming love of God. A people changed by Christ's love are also out of their minds in how they relate to death and to life. Ever notice how much our world fears death? Humans avoid it, prolong it at any cost. And yet Paul says, in his love, Christ died for us. So we've all already died. No fear of it. It's already been done, he says. Now we get to live. In another letter, Paul says, to be away from the body is to be with Christ. And to remain here on earth in this body is to be away from Christ, but is to be used by him. Paul says to the church, oh, how I prefer death. But for your sake, church, I'll stick around and keep being used by Christ. A man who was once killing Christians, now ready to lay his own life down for this Jesus Christ. He can think of nothing greater than taking his very last breath on earth so he can finally see his Savior face to face. People overwhelmed by the love of Jesus are made new. They live with no fear of death. And that seems absolutely crazy to this world we live in. When I was packing up my bags to head to the Middle East for 2 years, good Christian people in my home church, little ladies that would sit in Bible study 3 times a week, they would look at me and they'd say, "Are you sure that's wise? A young single girl going to a place like that, isn't it dangerous? Aren't there lost people here you can tell about Jesus?" And my young 22-year-old self literally had no idea where they were coming from. All I knew was that years before, I had signed up to follow this Jesus who walked into the darkest places at great risk to himself to spread some life. And I actually was crazy enough at 22 to think that back in the day when I had walked into those waters with Christ in baptism, and I was raised to walk in new life with him, when the pastor spoke over me and said, "Jamie, you've been buried. You're dead. You get to raise to a new life that's not your own." I guess I was crazy. I thought that he really meant it and that my life was no longer my own. I was dead. So now, no need to fear death and avoid risk. Now I could finally live. I was confused. These sweet Christian people, when they were baptized, isn't that what they meant too? I told you this story before about an American who was a missionary to Iraq. He and his wife and another teammate were there during the Gulf War. And their car was ambushed by rebels, and he was killed, his teammate was killed, his wife was injured, and she was in the hospital for weeks. When she was finally released, the media, of course, interviewed her. And they said, "Ma'am, are you angry at those men who took your husband's life?" She looked at them and she said, "Oh, no man took my husband's life." She said, "You see, my husband gave his life away many, many years ago." You guys, the world doesn't get this. Not at all. Christians who have experienced the love of Jesus do reckless things as they live as witnesses for him. They go to hard places. They put themselves in uncomfortable situations. Rather than simply do their best to avoid death, they get out and they live life on purpose with a sense of mission. And all around them, people are saying they're out of their minds. I don't know what's happened to old Johnny, but something's different. He's changed. And the simple truth behind it is they've been changed by love. A people being changed by Christ's love are out of their minds, and how they view God, how they view life, how they view death, and in how they view others. Christ's love gave Paul a whole new point of view, he says, in how he saw everyone else. Those people that he was once trying to kill, he's now calling them brothers and sisters. The Jewish leaders who were now trying to kill him, his heart breaks for them so much that at one point Paul says, I would lose my salvation if it meant that these Jewish people might gain theirs. That's crazy to see your enemies that way. Are you out of your mind, Paul? Who does that? One who's been loved when they didn't expect it or deserve it, I presume. This new view of others that leaves the world saying they're out of their minds is the kind where victims forgive abusers. That's crazy, I know. Where leaders choose humility over power. That's crazy, I know. Where those who have little give generously to those who have even less. Where the cheated on risk trusting again. Where the mistreated choose compassion. The cynical choose grace. But the smart thing to do in today's world is to protect yourself. Guard your heart. Defend yourself. Don't let anyone too close. They'll just hurt you. Take care of your own needs first and see if there's any left for others. That makes sense. Now you're talking in your right mind. The way of forgiveness, compassion, grace will always look crazy to this world we live in. Rodney King, who was beaten by the Los Angeles police in 1991, and whenever they were acquitted, it led to the LA riots, as you remember. He was interviewed, again, the media loves these stories. He was interviewed later about his beating, and they said, Mr. King, what do you want to say to those police officers who beat you almost to death? He said, I forgive them. And the media person said, it seems that Mr. King is still suffering brain damage from his injuries. Maybe so. Or maybe he was just out of his mind, having been changed by love. When's the last time your choice to love another led someone to say, are you sure that's a good idea? They don't deserve it, you know. That the world might see us more and more as a people out of our minds by the love we've received. Absolutely beside ourselves with the love that we get to give. This week, I've been praying a lot for Belfair Community Church. And by that, I mean not for this building. I mean for you. I've been praying for us and our life together. And at the end of the day, I think that my greatest prayer for you, my greatest prayer for us, my greatest prayer for this year is that we all might just lose our minds a little bit, maybe even a lot. Not that we just try harder this year to better ourselves, but that we would lose our minds as we fall absolutely head over heels in love with Jesus Christ again, or perhaps for the first time. That we might drop everything else on the 2018 to-do list and simply right at the top, fall in love with Jesus this year. And I pray that we'd mean it with all of our hearts. I pray that we do all the things that people do when they're falling in love with someone, but that we would do them with Jesus. That we would spend free moments checking in with him because our hearts just can't stop thinking about him, talking his ear off, and listening so closely as he talks our ears off too, not wanting to miss a word. Reading his love letters right here, over and over again, until we actually begin to grasp just how much he means it. I pray we'd start noticing him everywhere. Just like you notice the one that you love in a crowded room. You can pick out the back of their head. You can hear their laugh all the way across the room. I pray that we would fall in love with Jesus like that. So much so that we see his fingerprints everywhere we go. At the grocery store, at work, on the practice fields. I pray that this year, more than ever, we would be a people doing whatever it takes to be completely smitten by the love of Jesus once again. Whatever it takes to be completely overwhelmed by his grace for us. When's the last time you just stood there and wept from feeling overwhelmed by his love and his goodness? I pray we get back to that place again, because that's the place where everything changes. Where everything is made new. Not because we felt bad and tried harder, but because we fell in love with the one who already let his world turn upside down for love of us. 2,000 years later, there's still this whole world out there scratching their heads, saying, a God would come to live on this earth, be born a baby, and die for us. Yeah, right. Those who buy into that are out of their minds. No one loves like that. And as we do, whatever it takes to be overtaken by this love, may this exact same world look at us, scratch their heads, and say, a person choosing to love me, a stranger, to invest in me, a teenager, who isn't super respectful and needs a ride every single week, a person choosing to forgive me, a liar, choosing to take a risk on sharing the good news with me, a convict, yeah, right, they must be out of their minds. No one loves me like that. As Jesus hung on that cross, they were scratching their heads and skeptical, but they were much too intrigued to look away. And at his very last breath, a Roman soldier of all people speaks up and says what? Surely, this was the Son of God. Who else would go through with a love like that? As we allow ourselves to be changed from the inside out by this love, may they keep scratching their head. May they keep watching. And may their watching help them see we've been made new. So new, we're out of our minds. Crazy people in this world who have been changed by a crazy love. How's that? For a New Year's resolution. Just fall in love with Jesus. Absolutely fall in love with Jesus. The rest will follow. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, our beloved Savior, you have fallen in love with us when we didn't deserve it. When we didn't even think we wanted it, you turned your world upside down to love us. This year, help us love you better than ever before. Help us cultivate practices in our lives to grow in this love. Above everything else on our list of priorities, might number one be falling in love with you. We're tired of holding you at arm's length, of being admirers who pop in here and there. We want to be so in love with you that we know you're with us every moment of every day as you change everything about us by the gift of your love. May it be so, we pray. Amen.